Okay, good evening, Aboisai. I hope it's not going to be too controversial we're going to be learning tonight.
Oh,
hope so. I hope so. I don't know. I'm going to try to mince my words. We're learning about the halachas tonight of the requirements for chazan. It's a whole shopping list, and we're going to see some also list of prioritizing. There's a story that goes around that... I think that it can't be true because it seems to refute what we're going to be learning tonight. Did you ever hear the following story about Reb Chaim Brisker was approached and he was asked by the community leaders that there is an option of two chazonim for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Okay, the Brisker Shul had the option of two chazonim. One person was a very famous Talmud Chacham, a big Talmud Chacham and a very well-learned person who knew Shas and Poiskim. But his voice was not all that great. He didn't have such a good voice. His voice was not great. Please don't look at me like that. The voice part is. The other person was a person with a wonderful voice, but he was a great, unbelievable Am Haaretz. His voice was absolutely beautiful, but he was a tremendous Am Haaretz. So I asked Reb Chaim, who should we take? Because there's various halachos, we're going to see someone who should we take as a chazan. One is a great talmid chacham, but he's completely flat, and the other one he probably thinks he's a great chazan. You know, that. And the other one is generally a beautiful chazan, but he doesn't have any. He's not learned. Yeah. Good question. We'll get to that. The story over there was actually in the room. We'll get. So the Reb Chaim Brisker replied, and he said that he said it's not a question because if he's got a flat voice, then he's not a chazan. If he's not a chazan, there's no question. There's various halachas about somebody is a chazan, what the conditions are with regards to chazan. But if he's flat, and then he doesn't qualify to go into that category at all, he's not a chazan. If he's flat, he can't daven for the Almud, and there's no question at all. So you don't have two candidates to choose from. You've got only one candidate. So let me am Oretz, nothing you can do about it. But we're going to see soon that learning this seif, they're going to be seeing shortly, it's not so poshut at all. I mean, I'd like to revisit this. This is a famous story that goes around, and I've heard it many times. Okay, but we'll see. Very good.
So,
he's
good.
Isn't
good. It rather to have the one who can't sing so nicely, but at least he's doubling and leading with Kavanah.
Very good.
Who's doing it mainly for his own ego, maybe, as a concert.
Okay.
And he's got no Kavanah, so...
Good.
I would have thought
very good. This is a very interesting point, and we'll get to that. We'll get to that, Emir Tzashem. Okay, we'll get to some interesting halachas. Okay, we'll only start tonight. We're going to see more tomorrow to follow. But let's just start with Sif Dalet. Shliach Tzibur... A shliach tzibur tzorich shiye hogun. He needs to be hogun. Now, hogun probably is best translated as proper or appropriate. Shliach tzibur tzorich shiye hogun. And he defines that. What does that mean? What does that mean that he's hogun? So the Shulchan Aruch teaches us the following conditions. Where is your hogun? Who is a hogun type of person? Whole shopping list. Shereikon mi aveiros. He needs to be empty from aveiros. So no aveiros in his banking statement. No aveiros in his bank statement. Reikon mi aveiros. Condition number one. Condition number two. Mishlo yotzal of shame ra. There should be no bad reputation, no bad name about him. Afilu be aldusa, even from his childhood. No reputation. Oh, you know, when he was a child, he was like this. Do you remember him 20 years ago? None of that. Thirdly, he should be humble. He should be popular amongst people. People should find him a pleasant person to deal with. He should be a positive person. He should be a person that people can relate to. He should be popular. And then he carries on. Carrying the shopping list continues. He should be pleasant. His voice should be pleasant. That's part of the shopping list. He should have a nice voice. He should be well versed. Shall I translate? In Torah, Nevi Muksuvim. In Torah, Nevi Muksuvim. He should have. He should know Torah, Nevi Muksuvim well. Why is that? So we'll see in Mishnah Berurah. But we see over here a whole list, an interesting list. Now, the first Mishnah Berurah is very important. Sifkot Yud Dalet says the following: Tzorich, Tekziv Nosno Olaik Bekoilo Al Kain Sinei Sio. V'omu Chazal, Zeh Shliach Tzibur She'enu Hogun. The pasuk says, "Nusana olai bekoilo, give on me my voice. Al ken therefore sinesi, I will hate it." So it sounds that there is a voice that Hashem hates. Who is that? Shliach tzibu echan she'en ogun, who is not good. And shliach tzibu, which is not good, is a problem. Va'sforim, and the sforim erichum oit, the sforim write begoil gnus. The greatness of the problem. Hamemanim shliach tzibu she'en ogun ki moinim alad ezei toiv miyisrael. If the people who appoint chazonim who are not appropriate, they are taking away goodness that could come on Klal Yisrael. A good chazon could lead to a big deal of good things. And the people who appoint a bad chazon who is not appropriate, unfortunately because of him, there's no goodness coming on to Klal Yisrael. Yeah.
It's referring to regular
very good. We'll get to that. The answer is no, and we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Maybe shall I point out at this stage. We'll see. That there is, it's a good point. Let me go into that now. We see that there's actually two categories of a chazan. There is a chazan that is considered a shliach tzibur kavua. This is a permanent chazan. Now we all know that it's quite uncommon nowadays, but it does still exist. Shuls which appoint a chazan. And that is considered a chazan kavua, an appointed chazan who will daven shachris, mincha, ma'ariv, Shabbos, yomim tovim. A shliach tzibur kavua. And then there is something which is called a shliach tzibur akroi, who is not a regular shliach tzibur. He's going to daven the mincha, he's going to daven the ma'ariv, he's even going to daven on Shabbos occasionally. But he's not often the shliach tzibur kavua is paid. Shliach tzibur akroi is not paid. He just occasionally takes the omud. Now, this Seif over here is specifically talking about a permanent Shliach Tzibur, Shliach Tzibur Kavua. We'll see there is quite a lot of halachos also with regards to Shliach Tzibur Akoi, but that's not the one we're referring to over here. Okay, so thanks for pointing this out. Yeah. Very good. That will be the halachos of Shliach Tzibur Akoi. There is halachos. Yeah, we'll get to that. We will get to that. Valid point. Yeah. Shliach Tzibur Kavua is actually in. Yeah. Okay, says the Mishnah Berurah in Shlifkot Yud Gimel Hogun. Veroi Sheiya Big Day Shatz Arukim Shiloir Raglov. So then the Mishnah Berurah says over here that a Shliach Tzibur should have longer. It is appropriate for the Shliach Tzibur that his garment should be longer. Shiloirou Raglov, that his feet should not be seen. Remember that in the previous generations there wasn't the shoes we've got nowadays. Therefore, there was often the shoes were not properly. You know, you could see a person's feet when they didn't have particularly long clothes. You'd actually see a person's feet. That was in a process of the Mishnah Berurah. Shliach Tzibur. One of the halachas of Shliach Tzibur is that his feet should not be seen. He should have long clothes. Now, the poskim, the contemporary poskim, takes it a little bit further, and they say that it's not just referring to the feet. There's also something else with regards to Shliach Tzibur, with regards to his clothing. What do you think? Where am I going to? Where am I heading to?
Clean.
Clean, definitely. Yeah, but that's not. Yeah, I hear. Yeah, it should. Pardon? Yeah, that's not. I'm talking specifically with regards to cleanliness. No, sorry, not cleanliness. I'm specifically about godim, the clothing.
Gartel.
Good. A makbid of gartel. Okay. Yeah, that's not what the Mishnah Berurah means, I don't think. Right, so hat, we'll get to hat as well in Mitzvah later. But when they talk about the big day shatz arukim, the Shliach Tzibur should have longer garments, it's referring that it should be, the contemporary poskim bring it, that they should always ensure to have it's not really arukim, it's not long, but it should have if it's a particularly hot day, and there's everybody there everybody's taking their jackets off, and it's like, it's part of that Mishnah Berurah, they say, that just as much as his feet should not be revealed, he should also make sure to wear his jacket and certainly to have shorter trousers or anything like that. It seems to be in line with the spirit of the Mishnah Berurah, if not with the letter of the Mishnah Berurah, the spirit of the Mishnah Berurah, that they shouldn't be davening for the Amud like that. So that's maybe just what post can bring out from this Mishnah Berurah.
When the Mishnah Berurah says Raglov, does it really mean legs as opposed to feet?
It probably does mean the feet. Yeah. No, because in those days, the feet, there's nothing wrong with having shoes, but if the feet, in those days, the shoes were not completely covering the feet. Therefore, if the garments were not particularly long, then the feet would be revealed. That's inappropriate for chazan to be davening like that. Yeah. Okay, says the Mishnah Berurah, carries on Mishnah Berurah, and he says the following. The Mishnah Berurah says that a Shliach Tzibur should always be the one that comes into the shul first and leaves the latest. Yikones leveis hakneses rishon, he should be the first one to come in and leave the last. V'lo ye tipesh v'sochol, he shouldn't be tipesh v'sochol, he shouldn't be a, how should we translate this? Very simple, yeah, extremely simple, and Elo only she yuchal edaba beiske akol. He should be a person that can, you can have a discussion with him about keila matters kifim hashatzurich as necessary. So if there's once a community matter or something, you should be able to discuss it with him. It shouldn't be somebody like, it doesn't chap what's flying. It should be, you should know what's flying a little bit. It should be toiv lahade achashat tzadik ben tzadik. Now this is an interesting Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah said it's better to have a tzadik ben tzadik. A chadnu is a tzadik ben tzadik. He should be a tzadik as well as his father should have been a tzadik. Ki ayno doim et tefillah tzadik ben tzadik et tefillah tzadik ben rosha. You cannot compare tefillah of a tzadik who is a son of a tzadik is stronger than it's the tefillah of a tzadik ben rosha. Although he has come a long way, the tzadik ben rosha is more in a way has put more effort into it because his father was Rosha and he ended up being a tzaddik. But nevertheless, when it comes to tefillah, the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik is stronger than a tefillah of a tzaddik ben Rosha. That the Rosh says that yichus is not important when it comes to tefillah. We don't care about yichus. Even if he comes from a weak family, is that it doesn't really matter if somebody's not miyuchas, that's true. He says that there's no maila, says the Mishnah Berurah, between a tzaddik ben tzaddik and a tzaddik son of a normal average type of person. That makes no difference, that's true. But when a father was a Rosh proper, then you're better off taking somebody else. It's better off not to, a tzaddik ben Rosh is not as great as a tzaddik ben tzaddik. Ve'ein mum in psulin ila bekeni v'lo b'shliach tzibur. His Mishnah Berurah continues and he says that a mum, a physical blemish, is not an a psul when it comes to a chazan. Somebody has got, unfortunately, a physical blemish, like a coin would be invalidated from his avoider, not so a chazan. Yes, machmirim bezet. The Mishnah Berurah does say that it's machmirim. Lechatchila echad ikroi v'ogun kiyoy tziboy. There was a Shlomo Rav Eliashiv was asked if a person was in a wheelchair. Nebuch, he was wheelchair bound. It wasn't mobile at all. But he was a great tzaddik, and he was a tzaddik ben tzaddik, and he qualified, and he ticked all the boxes. But he was just he couldn't walk anymore. Nebuch, he physically was yet mumin, and he wasn't able to walk. And I asked Rav Eliashiv, is he able to daven for the amud? And Rav Eliashiv said, ideally not, because it's a physical blemish, and you should try to pick somebody else. So at El Chatchila we try not to, but of course if there's nobody else, and of course it's fine, but El Chatchila one avoids people, chazonim with physical blemish. Now, the Mishnah Berurah does not go into the shaila exactly, what does that mean, reikon me'averos? What does that mean? What does that exactly mean? Someone is reikon me'averos. I mean, what does that mean to be reikon me'averos? How do you find somebody's reikon me'averos? What is that? Empty from sins. Do you know anybody who's empty from sins? Who's no sins at all? What does that mean exactly? So Mishnah Berurah doesn't really explain. Yes, it does go tzaddik ben tzaddik, tzaddik ben rosha. It doesn't really define. What does the Rabbi say? How would you define that? Shlichatchila, look for somebody who's empty from sins. Pardon? Okay, good, very good, yeah, okay. And if he's not around? Is the next best. Yeah, so I saw something which I could relate to. I see Shlomo Zalman yet again. Shlomo Zalman, he brings his terminology is something which I think makes a lot of sense. He says, a lot of it has to do with a person's public, what he does in public. So of course everybody does averes. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher lo yechta, everybody does averes. And we all know that people, but there are people who do this publicly and without much embarrassment, and there's people who try their best and at least in the public you can't see them doing averes. There's a big difference between somebody switches off the light on Shabbos in public and somebody doesn't. You know, there's a big difference. There's a very big difference. And there's people who in public, they'll be more careful. So the Mishnah Zaman says that if somebody, for instance, is an example that he actually brings, based on the Mishnah Berurah later on, if somebody doesn't go to a Beis Din, instead he slips people to court. We know there's an Aveir will bring people to court. To Eden, you're not supposed to go to court. You may not bring, if you have you can't get to terms with somebody on financial disagreement, you're going to bring him to a Din Torah. See, that's a typical example, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, of somebody who doesn't fit in that category. Because if you have you have two options, and you're doing publicly, you're doing something which is unacceptable. It's an Aveir in public. Don't do something in public. Yes, everybody does Aveiras. We can't, you know, who is clean and from sins, nowadays. But if you do something publicly, somebody who does sins publicly is somebody you should avoid from being a chazan. That's what Shulchan Aruch is referring to. Rabbi Sai, what do you think about this? How do you think about this definition? So it doesn't actually mean completely reikon me averos. It's what you're looking for. Somebody then, yeah. What do you think about it, Rabbi Gideon? Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, okay. The Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch says the Yotzer of Shem Rafilu Bi Aldusoy. I would like to quote over here a Rav Vosner. Rav Vosner speaks about the issue. So the Shulchan Aruch says that he shouldn't have had a bad reputation from when he was young. Now you shouldn't have no reputation. So Rav Vosner was asked the question, an interesting question. He said, "Well, does that mean that somebody is a genuine Chozer B'Tshuva? Somebody is a genuine Baal Tshuva, that he can't be chazan ideal because he may have had a Shem Ra Filu Bi Aldusoy. When he was a child, he did certain things. When he was a youngster, he did certain things. But eventually he's come around and on Tshuva. Does that mean he's not meant to be a Shliach Tzibur Lechatchila?" So Rav Vosner says, "Chas V'Shalom, definitely not. That's certainly not what the Shulchan Aruch is referring to. Certainly not. It doesn't mean that." Rav Vosner explains and he says, what it means is that if somebody was officially keeping Torah mitzvahs, and even whilst he was officially keeping Torah mitzvahs, there was a bad reputation about him. That, you know, really behind closed doors, he does this and this. Do you know, last week I saw him doing that. When he was really officially part of the Shomer Torah mitzvahs, and then whilst he was within Shomer Torah mitzvahs, there's a bad reputation about him, that he did certain things which he wasn't meant to do. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is referring to. But if somebody had in the past, comes from a different background, but then he has made a U-turn, he has come around completely. He says that's, and he's generally done tshuva. He says that's not what Shulchan Aruch is talking about. He said that's a completely misunderstood Shulchan Aruch. He said his Shem Rabbi Aldusoy is, if he was officially Shem Rabbi Mitzvahs, and he did things whilst he was Shem Rabbi Mitzvahs, which was inappropriate, that's when you have a bad reputation, that's when he's not taking chazan. But if he wasn't within the camp, he wasn't within the Shem Rabbi Mitzvahs, and that's not a bad reputation. He's done tshuva since, and things have changed. So that's what Rav Vosner said. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful understanding that. What do you think about it, Rabbi Sam?
But isn't it Lashon Hara, somebody saying this person got a bad reputation?
Yeah.
It might not be genuine. It might be somebody's got, you know, somebody could say someone's got a bad reputation.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, it's a very good point. How does a bad reputation spread?
Who's saying that this guy?
That's a very interesting question. It's a very interesting question. How does a bad reputation spread? Because people are not really meant to speak Lashon Hara. So how does a bad reputation spread? That's a very good question. I assume the answer, I didn't think about it, but I assume the answer is because, unfortunately, well, there's two answers maybe. Well, what do you think about Sam? Pardon? Right, so there is a toilet, sometimes there's a toilet aspect. Sometimes people need to say Lashon Hara because it's a toilet. Or it could be that people were not particularly careful and the reputation does spread without, you know, not many spread, but it did spread. Maybe, but I think maybe toilet is a good answer as well. Yeah. Right, okay. The Mishnah Berurah does mention that generally one should not get involved in Sifkot and design. Generally, when it comes to appointments of Chazanim, the Mishnah Berurah recommends don't get involved. Just don't get involved. Keep your finger out of it. Keep it to the people who are in charge of the shul. Let them deal with it and keep your hands out of it. Because it's very close to, as you're saying, it gets really close to Lashon Haras, to Machloikas, and to, it's always fascinating when it comes to Yom Neroim, everybody discusses this chazan, that chazan. Just before the Yom Neroim, everybody has got opinions about everybody's Yashamayim. And as the Mishnah says, you know, if you really just keep yourself out of it. He's appropriate. When he comes, you know, he's a good Baltic. He's a big Yer Shemaim. He's a less Yer Shemaim. And he's like, you know, keep your hands out of it. Keep your mouth out of it. That's Mishnah Berurah said. It's give it to the people who make the decision. Leave it to them, and you keep your hands out of it. Interesting recommendation of the Heilige Mishnah Berurah. He says as well in Seif Kot, right, and then comes the condition of the good voice. After the condition of the good voice comes the condition of that it should be roge likos ba Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim. You should be well versed in Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim. Why is that, Rabbi? Why is it important that you should know Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim? Knows what he's saying. Kavana, very good. Says the Mishnah Berurah, very much based on that. Two reasons. Seif Kot Yud Ches, third wide line. Roge likos kidei shapsukim umurovim b'seichat tefillah shedurim b'fiv. First one is a very practical reason. If he knows the psukim well, he's going to daven nicely. He's not going to be stuttering and getting stuck in the middle of words, in the middle of... He knows the Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, he knows the psukim well, he knows the tefillahs well, the beauty well. He needs to know what he's davening. He needs to, so he's going to flow nicer. V'gam, also, im eino roge likro, yisu b'chlal meisi ozni mishma, Torah gam tefillahs oteivo. He needs to be b'vav tamet chochem. There's no... You know, you can always tell if somebody's a shliach tzibur, who knows what he's saying or not. If he doesn't understand what he's saying, you could hear. It's much different. Somebody's a Talmud Chacham. The whole tefillah sounds different. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. And then comes, you asked earlier about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Mishnah Berurah says over here, Kosa Prim Agotim B'Simon Tovkuf Pei Aleph. So the Prima God makes the condition. So Halach LeMaaseh says at the Mishnah Berurah, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he needs to be married when Shloshim, if you're 30 years old. Mashma, and it appears from that, B'Shai Mois Hashanah, other days of the year, Afilu Anu Nosu, even if he's not married. Mikol Mokam Nira Lede Nosui, Koidim Lebochum. A married person is always better than a Bochum. Afilu Nisman is gone, even if he's got a beard. We'll speak about a beard a lot in future Shurim. But so again, the Mishnah Berurah says, the Megadim says that on your Shonim Kippur, he must be married, he must be 30. It sounds from that if he's not Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you can be a bit more lenient. Nevertheless, it's better that he should be married than 30 even during the rest of the year as well. But it doesn't need to be. So it is a must to be 30 and married during Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The rest of the year, it's not a must. Now, there is an interesting point I was just going to mention over here. Moshe has an interesting tshuva. And it looks like I'm diverting, but really I want to bring out this Mishnah Berurah here. So it looks like I'm going to be diverting for a minute, but it's interesting, Shaila. Rabbi Isai, you daven as Ashkenaz? Sfat? What do you... Ashkenaz? Okay. Well, say you go to a you davening Mincha in Stamford Hill, or in Stiepel for that matter. And you davening in a shul that davens as Sfat. And you say you end up davening for the Omot. Now I want to ask you, Rabbi Isai, in this scenario, if you nusach is nusach Ashkenaz and you are davening, so I understand that during Chazos Hashatz, say it's Shachiz no Mincha, during Chazos Hashatz, you'll be obviously davening nusach Sfat because it's nusach Sfat Shul. But I want to ask you during Quach Shmanesa, are you davening nusach Ashkenaz Shmanesa or nusach Sfat Shmanesa? Question makes sense, Abba Isai? Okay, vice versa as well. A person who davening nusach Sfat, who davening nusach Sfat over here? Yeah, if you don't know Sfat, you end up davening Kol Yaakov for one reason or another, and you end up davening for the Amud. For Kriyat Shema Nesa, you're going to be davening Nusach Ashkenaz? Or Sfat? Sfat, huh? Yeah. You want to daven the Nusach, that is acceptable. You don't want to. Yeah, you want it first to be heard. So it's very interesting because Moshe has a fascinating tshuva which speaks about this. It's actually a bit of a machlokas, but I think that Moshe's approach makes so much sense. He says that the whole reason why we have it's important that the chazan should be, that his tefillah should be going smoothly, very much based on, I mean, very similar to what we're saying over here. A chazan needs to know the psukim we're learning now in this Seif. Chazan needs to know the Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, that his tefillah should be flowing, it should come out nicely. He needs to be coming naturally and nicely. And so he says that in order to ensure that this happens, you need to daven, and it's not your normal nusach, you need to at least have daven once during quiet chazos, during quiet shmanese, at least once you have daven the other nusach. Otherwise your tefillah may be hindered a bit, it may not come out so nice. So he says that chazos hashatz will, if you want to ensure that chazos hashatz is going to be the right way, you at least the quiet shmanese should be said in a way that is, you're going to be saying it later on. So as well as all the svaros and cheshbonis as well, he said that Kohen Shemon Esrei should be said in the way that you're going to be doing the Lach Shemon Esrei shortly. To recap what we covered tonight, Be'ez Hashem is Barach Shemoy. We started learning the halachas with regards to a shliach tzibur. What kind of shliach tzibur is the right kind of shliach tzibur? We learned that it needs to be hogun, and that means that it's rekon me averos, he's empty from averos. Mishnebu goes into tzadik ben tzadik and tzadik ben rosha. He said tzadik ben tzadik is better than a tzadik ben rosha. We then learned about it's no bad reputation. We spoke about Rav Ozna's approach as well. Even from a childhood, no bad reputation. We said it needs to be an honor, it needs to be humble, it needs to be popular. It needs to be a good voice and a pleasant voice for Kol Orev. And he needs to be rogelikos, but turn of him uksuvim for two reasons. First of all, he should know the psukim, he should come out nice, and he should be a bit of a talmid chochem as well. But going back to Reb Chaim Brisker's shayla, the shayla Reb Chaim Brisker was asked. Going back to, we asked the person, do you think this is, the story could be true or not? Because it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch a little bit, that it's, I have a question from the Shulchan Aruch. What do you think about Isai? I mean, the question, he was, better chazen that is flat than a talmid chochem, or talmid chochem, a flat Talmid Chacham, a good voiced Am Haaretz. So what's better, Rabbi Yisai?
It's almost a stereo than a Shulchan Aruch, because he has one is having a good voice and one is about being a Talmid Chacham. So it's not so clear which one you would pick based on the Shulchan Aruch.
Right, okay. The truth is, to answer, you're right, what you're saying, so maybe to answer that question fully, we'll have to wait for Zif Hey a little bit. Maybe that's going to clarify, but let's keep this open for Zif Hey. Let's keep this hoping for Sifei. It's so hard. As I was learning the Shulchan Aruch, there's so many conditions. Just remind me that somebody went once to a Shadchan, and he said, you know, the Shadchan asked, what kind of girl are you looking for? So he said, well, I would like it to be from a very rich family. I'd like it to be young. I want to be from a very rich family and a very, very good yichas. And she needs to be very clever as well. So he said, okay, fine, no problem, I'll sort it out for you. He came the next day and he brought four girls. He said, how could you find four girls like that? He said, the truth is that she's the rich one, she's the young one, and she's the good yichas, but to find all of it together is going to be absolutely impossible. So, just as we're going through this list of Shulchan Aruch, we may have to keep that in mind. It's a bit hard to find it all together, but we're going to get into more details tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.